Okay. Good morning. All the dinim of Geiris, I learned that in the Gemara increases the Avtes Amud Aleph from Maimon HaSina. Maimon HaSina was officially the Geiris of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says it based on the Pasuk, that just like our ancestors were all Megayir at the time of Maimon HaSina to become Jewish, so too the Doris, if any Nochri wants to become Jewish, he has to undergo the same process. So what do we learn out? So the Gemara understands from the simple reading of the Chumash, we would not get that impression. The Gemara understands that the Bris Milah in Mitzrayim was not only for the purpose of being able to eat the Korban Pesach, Kol Ora Le'Yochol Boy, it was the beginning of the Geirus, which was going to be completed 7 weeks later at Maimon HaSina. So the Milah was done before the Tefillah and the Mikvah. Milah was done before Yitzias Mitzrayim, before eating the Korban Pesach. The Tefillah was done later. And also, from the Chumash, you get the impression only the married people had to go to Mikveh, and they had to be Purish 3 days in advance, that the women shouldn't be Polet to Shechvah Zera. A woman can be the Shechvah Zera, is only Royal Hazriya up until the three Onos, Anoinos, 12 hours or 3 days before, so that the married people had to be Purish 3 days in advance of Maimon HaSinai. Because what is it going to help? A woman's going to go to mikveh, then she'll be poleta shechva zera after going to the mikveh, so she'll have tumas poletas. And in Maimon HaSinai, there had to be tohoirim from tumas balkeri and tumas poleta shechva zera. So the Chumash only speaks about the married people going to mikveh and being purished 3 days before. The Gemara shows how you read in between the lines that even the single people had to go to mikvah. Also, the Chumash talks about the married people because of the Prisha Shlosha Yomim, because of the Poleta Shechvah Zera. But everyone had to go to mikvah. How did the Gemara figure this out? Because the Pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, the third part to the Geirus says you have Milah Tefillah. By men, you need Milah Tefillah. By women, you just need the Tefillah. Then you need a Korban. So the Korban is described in Parshas Mishpatim. This was a Hayru'a Shoah, that the whole Klal Yisrael had one big national Geiris, and it was sufficient with one set of Korbanos for everybody. The Doris, there wouldn't be such a din. The Doris, the din is that each and every individual Geir has to bring his own Korban. He could bring an Oila. An Oila will cost him, if he brings a Behemoth, it'll cost him maybe $1,000, an Oila's Behemoth. Or he can bring an Ola Soif, that'll cost him $100. But if he brings Ola Soif, it has to be two Oifas. Has to be two Oilas. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Ayikra, Imov Korbano, that you can bring prey to Achas, one bird as a Korban Oila. So Ravelvala Soloveitchik explains in his Sefer on the Rambam that that's considered an incomplete Korban. So if it's an Oilas Nedova, person wants to volunteer to bring an Oilas Nedova, he can be Oitzid Oilas Nedova by bringing one Oif. But if it's an oila b'chayva, let's say a gershon is gayer, is obligated to bring a korban oila. So then you have to bring a korban shalem, and a complete korban by oifas is you have to have two, either two oifas, or an oif and a behema. Let's say an oila soif together with a chata soif. But if you just bring, let's say on shalosh regalim, everybody has to bring an oila sriya. So the way we have the Girsa and the Gemara, it says you're only Yotze if you bring Oilas Behema. If you bring Oilas Oif, you're not Yotze. The Rama must have had a different Girsa, or he must be Paskening based on some other source against what it says in our Gemara. The Rama Paskened that Oilas Oif is also good. So Rav Elbala Soloveitchik in his Sefer on the Rambam quotes from the Mabit. The Mabit wrote a comment that Mabit was in the Bezdin with Rabbi Yosef Karo and Tzvat. They were together. They had, a lot of times, they had famous disputes. It seems like on 98% of all of the halachas, they agreed. And on 2%, they disagreed. So they're famous for their machloikas. So the Mabit wrote a commentary on the Rambam also. The Kesef Mishnah's commentary is much better because he gives you the marmukimus for every Rambam. Is it a Pasuk and Chumash? Is it a Mishnah? Is it a Tosefta? Is it a Bavli? Is it a Yerushalmi? Does the Ramban agree? Does the Rashba disagree? Because Mishnah is fantastic. Is it a Tshuvas HaGoinim? But the Mabit wrote the Kiryas Sefer, a Sefer on the Rambam. Now they started printing it together in the back of the Rambam, the Kiryas Sefer. He doesn't really add any Marmukimus that are missing from the Kesef Mishnah. every so often he'll write some original idea that's sometimes problematic. So people like to say Chidush Torah, like to look in the Mabit and the Kiryas Sefer. There'll always be something to say a Chabura, to say a Shtikl Torah. He'll always come up with some new idea. Kes Mishnah is usually standard. So the Mabit, Rav Velvel Soloveitchik quotes from the Mabit, Sefer on the Rambam, the Kiryas Sefer, that according to the Rambam's Psak, which is against the Gemara in the first parak in Chagiga, according to the Rambam's Psak, that the men can fulfill the Chayvas Oilas Ria. Yeroah calls the Churcha. The men are muchayv to be Oilas Ria. The women are not muchayv to be Oilas Ria. Yeroah calls the Churcha. But then it says, Vlo Yeroah Fanai Rekam. They can't just walk into the Azar empty handed. They have to bring an Oilas Ria. So the oilas ria, the way it says in the Gemara, the Babli has to be an oilas behema. According to the Rama, can be oilas oif. So the Mabit says, but it's a chayva. So you have to bring two oifas, two oilas oif. You can't be out with one oilas oif. Okay. So the ger also, the Gemara said, the ger has to maybe kan. A kan means an s, two oifas, two oilas oif. That's the Gemara says that. All the Tanaim agree to that, that by a ger shen is gayer. He can bring oil aside, and he has to bring two. He's not Yosef if he brings one oil. What about all the gerim who are megayer bizman hazeh? The Gemara raises the question, how can yemin bekabel gerim bizman hazeh if the din requires that the ger should bring a korban? So the Gemara there answers, and same daf and krisa daf tes and ral. Gemara says that there's a pasuk in Chumash that reads, chayogiritchem ger ledor asechem. If a ger will live in any generation, and the Chumash speaks about a generation where there won't be any Beis HaMikdash. So despite the fact that the Chumash conceives of a possibility of a generation where there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's no possibility of being Korbanos, nonetheless it says you can accept the ger in every generation. So you see that the Korban is not Miyakev. The practice used to be soon after the Churban by Sheni, when there were Mekabel Gerim, so the Ger would be Mafrish Rova Lekina. He would set aside money and put it away in an envelope, put it away somewhere, so that if the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, they'll be ready to have the money to bring the Oil HaSa'if. That was apparently a common practice, to bring Oil HaSa'if, to bring two Oifas, a Kan, as opposed to bringing an Oil HaSa'im. Oil HaSa'im is going to cost 10 times more, maybe 100 times more, an Oil HaSa'im. So that's a question. Why do you only have this by the Gersh and his Geyer? The practice was that they used to set aside money for the Korban. If they live so long till the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, so they'll bring the Oil HaSa'if then. Why did they have the practice to set aside the money? Let's say a person has Machal Shabbos B'Shogeg after the Korban HaBayis. So the Gemara recommends he should write down in his diary, I have to bring a korban chatos because I was machal Shabbos b'shoigeg. If a person et chelav adam b'shoigeg, he has to keep a diary and write that as mechuyev. But you don't find anywhere that they set aside money for the chatos. Kosev al pinkosoi, the Tanoim will write down that they're chayav chatos. So why is over here by the ger? You have that originally for quite a few years, the practice was that they were set aside money. And then the Gemara says that when Rabbi Yechama Zakkai was a chief rabbi, Gemara had a tradition. Rabbi Yechama Zakkai lived to the age of 120. So the first 40 years he worked for a living and he retired at 40. And he had enough pension to survive, had enough social security, whatever, to survive for another 80 years. And then the next 40 years he sat and he learned. He started learning at the age of 40. And it became, at the age of 80, he was pretty old and he was very learned. So then at the age of 80, they appointed him as the chief rabbi. So then the Gemara says he served the role of the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, the chief rabbi, for 40 years. During his presidency, when he was the Rosh HaSanhedrin, he, with his Sanhedrin, made 9 takonas. So the Mishnah lists them all off. So one of the 9 takonas was that they abolished. This was after the Churban HaBayis. Some of the takonas were Bizman HaBayis. He was the chief rabbi, partly Bizman HaBayis, and after the Churban HaBayis. Part before and part after. The Gemara doesn't know how many years before, how many years after the Churban HaBayis. So one of his 9 takonas was that they should discontinue that practice of setting aside the money. because many gerim had set aside money, put it away in an envelope, and written down, this money is to bring on a korban oila sa'if when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and then the money just disappeared. Apparently it was forgotten that this money had been, they wrote it down on a piece of paper, on an envelope, whatever. They wrote it down and the money disappeared. So they said it's not a smart idea to set aside the money. So that was one of the nine takonas of Rabbi Yechim Azaka, that they abolished that practice that they had. But on Kol Ponim, that's what, so L'doiras, the din is that every individual ger who converts, let's say you have the Kuzarim, they're all converted. There were hundreds of people, Kuzarim, who converted. So if they would all survive to see the building and the Beis HaMikdash, each and every individual one of them would have to bring, when the Beis HaMikdash, let's say, should be rebuilt today, before Shkia should be rebuilt today. So all of the Gerim who are still alive, who had converted in the last couple of years, will have to bring a Korbanus. But the Korban is not Miakev. Why is it increases Daf Testament Aleph? Because the second parak increases, the name of the second parak is Abba Mechusir Kapora. Mechusi Kippurim means a person who is Tomei, who went to the mikveh already, so he's Tohar with respect to eating Maaseh Sheni. A Tomei is not permitted to eat Maaseh Sheni. You say, L'biyarta mimene b'tomei. When you say, V'dei Maisa, on Erev Pesach of the 4th year, on Erev Pesach of the 7th year, so the farmer says, L'biyarta mimene b'tomei, I didn't consume the Maaseh Sheni in the state of Tumah. But after he goes to the mikveh, then he's permitted to eat Maaseh Sheni, but he's still not allowed to eat Trumah until Harav Shemesh, that's the opening Mishnah in Brachas, when they recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, Mishnah Shakanim Echnasim Lechol B'chumasim, because you need Harav Shemesh. Kol Zman didn't have a Tomei, even if he waits 5 years, and then he goes to the mikveh, he has to wait till Harav Shemesh, till Tzeisa Kechavim, following when he goes to the mikveh. So if they has Harav Shemesh, then he's permitted to eat Truma, but there are 4 Tomeim who are considered B'chusi Kippurim. Even after going to mikveh, even after having the Harav Shemesh, they're still not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash or eat karbanis until they bring a karban. Who are the 4 who are called Mechusri Kapora? They're missing a Hakrovas karban to complete their Tahara procedure, the Tahara process. So the 4 mentioned in the Mishnah are Zav, Zava, Yoledes, and Mitzora. These 4 people are Tomei. When they become Tahar, they have to go to the mikveh, have Harav Shemesh, and then bring the Korban. So then the Mishnah says there's another person who's in a certain sense a Mechusi Kippurim. It didn't really start off as being Tomei. So the Gemara says the Ger. The Ger Shen is Gayer, his conversion is not 100%. He had the Bris Milan, he had the Tefillah in the mikveh, he had Kabbalah on Mitzvahs, but he didn't yet have a chance to bring the Korban. So his Geris is slightly incomplete. He's only 99% Jewish. What is he missing? Usually, a non-Jew is not permitted. Let's say you have a Korban Shlomim. Korban Chatos and Osham in a Mincha is Kochi Kochim. It's only Nechal by Zichri Kuhuna. Even other Jews can't eat it. Only Zichri Kuhuna. Even a Kohenes cannot eat it. Only Zichri Kuhuna and the Azara. A Shlomim may be eaten by anybody who's Tahar. So the Nochrim and Atara are not Mekabel Tuma. A Goy is not Tomei. So would a Goy be permitted to eat Shlomim? Somebody brings a Korban Shlomim to the Beis HaMikdash and he wants to be Mechalakeh. They're going to have a Suda Smitzum. So should have been permissible for a Goy to eat a Goy? Can't be Tomei in Atara. So the Gemara says, no, a Goy is not permitted. You only have to have the Shlomim meat by Jewish people. So you have a Gershon, his Gayer. His geiris is not complete until he brings the korban hager, the oilas behema, the oilas oif. He wants to save money. So what is he missing? So the Gemara says, Gemara quotes a tesefta. The Gemara there in Krisa, the Aftesimana quotes a tesefta. He's permitted to enter the Beis HaMikdash. He's not the Mechusi Kippurim, like the Zab, Zavi, Aledis, and Mitzvah, that they're considered Tomei, that they can't enter the Azara. But he's considered a Mechusi Kippurim vis-a-vis that he's not allowed to eat Korban. So he's Dina Kigoi, that he can't eat the Korban. Yeah. So Bizman Hazeh, if you have a Gersh and his Gayer, he's Jewish for all mitzvahs, he can't eat. No one's eating any Korbanos today. We don't have any Korbanos today. When the Beis HaMikdash will be built, each and every individual person who was still a Ger, still alive, will have to bring a Korban Oilam. So at Maimon HaSinai, we didn't require each and every individual person. There were Shishim Reba men in between the age of 20 and 60. Then there are probably Shishim Reba women in between the age of 20 and 60. They were older than 60 and younger than 20. Then there was Erev Rav. There were several million people, but you didn't bring several million Korbanos at Maimon HaSinai. it was a Hirashah, it was a once in the history of the world that it was a Geris, one big Geris for all of Klal Yisrael together. So they were Yotze with one set of Karbonas that's described in the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Yeah. So L'chatchila, the Seder HaDvarim is first to get, if it's a man, first you have the Milah, and then you have the Tefillah. What if you reverse the order? What if you first do the Tefillah and the Mikveh, and then have the Milah? Why should it make a difference one way or the other? So that's HaMachloikis in Shulchan Aruch, in the Simen, Reis HaMachtes, Yeredeich HaLegimah, you have two Simonim about Hilchas Gerim. So one Simon is about Geris, and the other Simon is about the Krovim, which relatives is the Ger not allowed to marry me, the Rabbonim. And the Torah says, Ger Shenis got caught in Shanel Adami, he can marry his sister, he can marry his mother. And with the Rabbonim, there are restrictions. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, there's a Machloikis HaRishonim. What if you did the two Maisa Geris out of order? First, the Ger was Tevel in the Mikveh, and then he had the Bris Mila later. Is it good b'di'evet or not? Shach paskins halacha l'maisa that we should be machmer to repeat the tefillah in the mikveh, but b'li bracha. Usually, the ger after he's tovel in the mikveh, we had the gemara in Pesachim dav zayin tovel the olah. After the ger is tovel in the mikveh, he's Jewish now. Even before he brings the carbon, he's Jewish. So now he can recite the bracha shekadoshana b'mitzvah yisov v'tzivanu. Before he's tovel in the mikveh, he can't say, normally you say, kol ha-mitzvah kula mevarach aleim boivah la-siyosim. Normally you have to recite a bracha immediately before you're about to perform a mitzvah. But the ger, before he's about to perform the mitzvah of geris, he's not Jewish. So he can't say, anusach ha-bracha shekadoshana b'mitzvah yisov v'tzivanu. So after he has the milu and the tefillah, then he's Jewish, then he can say, lachar asiyosam, asher kadoshana b'mitzvah yisov v'tzivanu ala tefillah. He wasn't obligated to convert. He wasn't obligated to be tovel in the mikveh. It means if a non-Jew decides he wants to convert, then we say he has fulfilled the mitzvah. When he converts and he's tovel in the mikveh, we say he has fulfilled the mitzvah. So he says, a bracha, asher kadoshana b'mitzvah yisov v'tzivanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us that if we decide we want to convert, they didn't instruct us we have to convert. He instructed us if we decide we want, if we choose to convert, to become Jewish, then we have to go, then we should go to the mikveh and fulfill that mitzvah. So the Ger says the bracha la'achar asiyosim. Yeah, so this machloikis, what if you had the tefillah and the mikveh first and then the milah, that's a machloikis harishonim. Why should some rishonim say that the Seder is meyakev? Avodas Yom Kippurim, there's a pasuk chuka ksibo. So the Seder is me'akev. But usually, even if there's a Seder, l'chatchila is supposed to do something in a certain order, it's not me'akev b'di'evet. So why should the Seder be me'akev? Why should there be some Rishonim hold that the Seder is me'akev over here? So the Avodah Nezer has a very fascinating tshuva. He says, let's say a woman is a nida or a zava. So she has to wait to be tovel. Anita has to wait till after the 7 days are up, and the zava can be tovel mikra din deraisa on the 7th day. That's the original source in the chumash for the institution of mikzus hayam kekulai, that the zava can count shiv and akim and make a bedika on the 7th day, and then be tovel in the mikveh, and it's good. So what if the woman will be tovel in the mikveh on the 5th day? So she won't be allowed to be with her husband. But she'll be tovel in the mikveh, and she'll wait another 2 days. So we say there is. That's not going to help. That's no good. You can't have a tefillah now, and you want a chalois to take effect 2 days later. You can't have a tefillah lachazman. You can make kinyonim. I can make a kinyon now, and I want a chalois to take effect at a later time. Some kinyonim cannot do. Which kinyonim can you do a kinyon now and a chalois later? Kinyon kesef and kinyon shtar if the other person still holds on to the shtar. Let's say I give a woman a shtar kiddushin. I say, Ariat Mukadeshusli, we're still in college. I say, Ariat Mukadeshusli, the day after graduation. And she lost the shtar before the day after graduation. She lost the shtar kiddushin. Or a man gives his wife a get, they're not happily married, but they're not going to get divorced till after all the children get married. So he gives his wife a get and says, Hareza Gitach, the get should take effect the day after the last Sheva Brachas on the youngest child. After all the children are married, all the Sheva Brachas, the get should take effect. And she lost the get before that time comes. So the Mishnayos say, both in Kiddush and in Gittin, that's not good. That's what we call Kols the Kinyana, the Kinyan evaporated, the Kenyan vanished into thin air. Same thing, let's say you'll do a hagboho, a metaltlim. You do chazoka on karka. and you say you make a chazaka on karka, chazaka is kind of because he's showing a ma'isa bailus. But if you make a chazaka and the deal is he should only be kind of the karka in August, because I'm still living here in the place till August, and I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael. In July, I'm moving, so you should own the house in August. So if you make a chazaka and make a hagbor, I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael in August. I'm selling all of my metaltalim. I'm going to buy everything anew when I come to Eretz Yisrael. So you make a hagbor on the metaltalim, and the hagbor shouldn't take effect until August 1st. So that's called sekin yonai. Hagbor is supposed to be you show a ma'isa bailus hachnosa into my rishus. But if it's not, if you're not koina now, so it's not called hachnosa into your rishus. Or if you make a chazok on the karka, chazok is a ma'isa bailus to demonstrate that you're the balabos. But if you're not the balabos now, it's only intended to be koina lachalama yom after August 1st, then it's called sekinyon. So that's what the Avnei Nezer says. If a woman will be, a person, anyway, man or woman, a person will be toivel in the mikveh, and the tefillah can't take effect now. The tefillah, you have to be toivel after 7 days, or after the beginning of the seventh day, using the principle mitzvah ayam kukula. So the person will be toivel on the fifth day, and will say the effect should take, the chaloi should take effect after the seventh day is up. So that's called sekinyane. Did a tefillah now and it didn't have an effect now. So that's what the Avnei Nezer says. That's the argument. That's probably what's behind the Rishonim don't explain it. They just say the Seder is me'akev. But the Avnei Nezer explains that's the logical svara why the Seder should be me'akev. If you do a milah on a goy, you do a bris milah on a goy. So the Gemara says that it already has an effect right now. Even though he wasn't tevel in the mikveh yet, he's still 100% a goy, but he's not called an oral anymore. All the goyim are considered, there's a pasuk in Navi, kol goyim arelim. All non-Jews are considered arelim, even if they underwent the circumcision. They have a din of oral, unless they had a circumcision was done by a Jewish moel, l'shem gerus. If he had a milah, l'shem gerus, even though they're goyim, even though they're 100% goyim, kozman, they don't have the tefillah in the mikveh. So the tefillah is what clinches it, but they're not considered arelim anymore. Even though if they would have had just a circumcision, it's not considered, it wasn't a milah, a circumcision, the same as a bris milah, but wasn't done, l'shem milah shel gerus, then the goy is still considered an oral. But if he had a milah, l'shem gerus, then he's no longer considered an oral. So if you do it the way it's supposed to be, first the milah, then the tefillah, so the milah b'shaito accomplished something. The person is no longer an oral. Then the tefillah clinched. The tefillah chal b'shaito makes him into Yisrael. But if you reverse the seder, have the tefillah first and then the milah later, the tefillah first doesn't leave any effect at all. So there's no such thing as a tefillah today that should cause an effect lachazman. Tefillah lachazman is what we would call, if it would have been a kinyan, we would have called it kolsa kinyan, it would be an ogren. Anyway, but that's a machlokes harishonim. What's the din if you did it out of order? There was a student in the yeshiva who converted three times before he got married. So this was years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. He was a student in JSS, and he told his Rebbe, Rabbi Fulda, that he was getting married, and he was converted in Honolulu by a Beis Din in Hawaii. So the week before the wedding, and he wanted the Rebbe, Rabbi Fulda, should be in Masada Kedushin for him. So the week before the wedding, the Rebbe decided to ask him exactly what did they do in Honolulu. So he says, well, first he converted by reform. He was interested, he was not Jewish. First he converted by the reform, he thought he's interested in Judaism. Then he started finding out more and more about Judaism. He found out that reform is not what he wants. He wants real Orthodox. So he had to convert by an Orthodox Beis Din in Hawaii. What was he doing in Hawaii? I don't know. He was an American. He was in Hawaii. So the Rebbe asked him, what'd they do? So he says, oh, they took him in the ocean. They would tevel him. And then the next day, they gave him a bris milah. So he said, the next day, first they would tevel you in the ocean, and then he had the bris milah. Yeah, 100%. So that's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. L'chatchila, for sure it's improper. And two opinions, even b'dieved, if it's acceptable. So the Shach says, La Loch, you have to be Toivol again. So he converted the third time in New York. So he was Toivol in the mikveh the week before his wedding, in order to know for sure. But you're Toivol again, believe Bracha. Yeah. The mila has to be l'shem geiris. It's a question, what if, let's say this happens all the time, you have an intermarriage, the husband is Jewish and the wife is not Jewish, and she has a baby boy, and the husband invites a moel to do a bris mila. So the moel doesn't know that it's a non-Jewish child. So he does a bris mila, the shem mitzvah. And then you find out later, and he gives a document, that he gives him a certificate that he's a moel. He performed the bris mila. Then you find out later that the baby wasn't even Jewish. So what were they giving him a bris mila for? So the question is, if the baby grows up and he wants to convert to become Jewish, do you have to repeat the bris mila? What if, let's say, a non-Jewish man had circumcision for health purposes? A lot of non-Jews do circumcision because it's healthier. So when, if the non-Jew who had a circumcision for health purposes wants to convert, that's a machlekes in the Gemara, and it's a machlekes in the Rishonim had a paskin. So we say that you have to do hatofes dan bris. He can't repeat the bris mila. He doesn't have any orla anymore. You have to do hatofes dan bris v'li bracha, because it's a machlekes. What they need hatofes dan bris, machlekes tanoim, and perka blezer de mila, and machlekes the Rishonim, Tosfos there, quotes machlekes had a paskin. So we require hatofes dan bris v'li bracha. So the shaila is over here, if the father of the, there's an intermarried couple, the father is Jewish, the mother is not Jewish. The father invites a moel, and he didn't tell him that his wife is not Jewish and the baby is a goy. So the moel comes and he says all the brachas, he thinks it's a regular baby, a Jewish baby is doing a bris. So he did, the moel did the bris l'shem mitzvahs milo, he didn't do it l'shem geiris. Would that be acceptable if later, years later, the child decides he wants to convert? Does he have to repeat it? He can't repeat the bris. Would you insist on having a tovas dan bris? Would it be the same as if the non-Jew would have had a circumcision for medical purposes, for health purposes, that we would require misafek a tovas dan bris? Or would you say, no, since it was done l'shem mitzvah smilo, so that's good enough, that's the same. So the Hatzi Pesach Rank has a tshuva about this, the Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva, others have tshuvas. It's a modern shaila. For many centuries, we never had these shailas. There wasn't such intermarriage. And if there would be intermarriage, the husband would ask a moel to come and do the bris mila. But in recent years, the shaila came up a lot. The ruba of the poskim, including Rav Soloveitchik, thought that you don't have to repeat the hatovas dan bris. But the Minchas Chitzchak was a Hungarian rabbi. So because there was one Hungarian rabbi who said that you need hatovas dan bris, all the others said you don't need, we're not Hungarians. So that's the way he paskin shalas. If you have 10 rabbis, 9 say lahak, and the one Hungarian rabbi says lahachmer, you have to follow the Hungarian rabbi. So the Minchas Yitzchak says you do need hatovas dan bris. And Ruba the Ruba of the poskim that he quotes say that you don't really need hatovas dan bris. As long as the mila was done l'shem mitzvah, that would be acceptable. In the Parsha and the Chumash, you find that on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, it's true, they all had bris milo from 7 weeks before Yetzias Mitzrayim, before Korban Pesach Mitzrayim, and they all went to mikveh, even the single people, okay? And they all said Nasa v'nishma, you have to have kabbalas on mitzvahs, everybody said Nasa v'nishma, and they all brought karbanas, the end of Parsha's Mishpatim, everything, we carry everything out. But in the Chumash, it says there was something else at Maimon HaSinai. Why don't we require that now? In Maimon HaSinai, it says that Vayikra Moshe Rabbeinu read from Sefer HaBris. What in the world is Sefer HaBris? Now there's a book that's called Sefer HaBris by Rabbi Peretinsky. He passed away already. He was an expert moel. So he wrote a big fat book, all the dinim of bris mila. But Moshe Rabbeinu read Sefer HaBris. It does mean Rabbi Peretinsky Sefer on Hilchas Mila. Sefer HaBris, Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, Sefer HaBris means from Bereshis till Parshas Yisro, through Maimon HaSinai. So he learned from Sefer HaBris. After the 40 years in the Midbar, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter, the rest of the Chumash, not just from Bereshis till Parshas Yisro. And at the end of the Chumash, all the way at the end of the Dvarim, says, V'yikachalas Moshe Licht, it was called Dibar HaTorah, says, Ad Tumam. When Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing the whole Chamishu Chumshi Torah from the beginning to the end, he gave it to the Kohanim, and he told them, "L'korach haSeif haTorah Zev Samta Moshe B'tzad Aram Bris Hashem B'Hayusham B'Chol Yed." From now on, this is the Sefer HaBris. On the occasion, Maim HaSinai, Sefer HaBris was from Bereshis through Parshas Yisro. But after the 40 years in the Midbar, after the rest of the Chamish and Chamshah Torah were dictated, so the Sefer HaBris consists of the whole Sefer Torah, the Chamish and Chamshah Torah. So that, how come the Gemara doesn't learn out from that, that Lidurus Menebi have a Gershon his guy, the day he converts, after he comes out of the mikveh, he gets dressed, you have to take a Sefer Torah and read Kriya Sator, even if it's not Sheni V'Chamishi. So apparently the Gemara understood that that was only a Hayru HaShoah. When there's Kabbalah Sator HaYidei HaTzibur, and the whole Klal Yisrael is Mekabel Torah, then you need Kriya from the Sefer Abyss. We know that it was a Hayru HaShoah regarding the Korbanis, instead of requiring each and every individual person of a 7 million people who converted on the occasion of Maim HaSinai, we just made the calculation. There were Shishan Reba men between the age of 20 and 60, probably Shishan Reba women also. There were people younger than 20 and older than 60. Then there was a ton of Erev Rav. Sounds like everything. There were several million people on the occasion of Maim HaSinai. They didn't bring several million karbanos. They only brought one set of karbanos for everybody. So that was Hayru HaShoah because it was a geiris of the whole tzibur. So it was Hayru HaShoah. The whole tzibur has to can be yotzei with one set of karbanos.
Rebbe?
Yes.
The psukim also say they brought shlamim.
Right.
So is that a problem? Who would have eaten the shlamim in that case?
After they bring the karbanos, they can eat it. Yeah. Kozman, they didn't bring the karbanos, they can't eat it. Because the geiris is only 98% effective. But after they bring the karbanos, even before they bring, after they bring the karbanos, then the geiris is complete. Yeah, okay. Yeah, then they can eat it. Yeah. So apparently we assume that there was a little bit of Hayru HaShoah involved in the geiris in Maim HaSinai. Number one, there was one set of karbanos for the whole Klal Yisrael. And number two, that they had kriya from the Sefer HaBris. Was that ever, is there such a din l'doiras that you need kriya from a Sefer HaBris? So it could be the Chazal have a comment on the Pasuk in Megillah Esther. It says, Kima v'kibulu. On the occasion of Nes Purim, there was another Kabbalah Sator. The Gemara says, on the occasion of Maim HaSinai, was Kof Aleim Har Kigigas. That's the question. Why did you need Kof Aleim Har Kigigas? Tosu says, they said Nasav and Ishma. Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow when we'll speak about the parsha tomorrow morning at 10:30. But the Gemara understood by Yisyatzu b'sachte sahar doesn't mean that they stood at the foot of the mountain. That's the Pasha Pshad. But the Gemara has a comment by Yisyatzu b'sachte sahar that Kof Aleim Har Kigigas. The Baruch Shalom held Har Sinai above them, and he threatened that if they don't accept the Torah, he's going to kill everybody. He's gonna crush them to death. So they accepted the Torah Bal Korcham. And order the kiblu b'me'achashverish came of the kibla on the occasion. The Nes Purim, they accepted the Torah b'ratzon. So on that occasion, they had to write a Sefer Esther. So the Gemara seems to imply that the Sefer Esther was a Sefer HaBris, had the status of a Sefer HaBris because there was a Kabbalah Sator al Yidei HaTzibur. There wasn't the Geirus. There was no need for another Geirus. They already were Jewish. But because there was a Kabbalah Sator, so that's why they had to write another Sefer HaBris. And when we read the Megillah, every Purim, if you read B'tzibur, the Bris was made with the Tzibur, not with the Yechidim. That's why he says, Shabbocha manim kalam and asalon is tayrosai. There was Bechiras Yisrael, and the Matan Torah was the Bris, the Krisis Bris was with the Tzibur, not with the Yechidim. So the Gemara has a din in Megillah, in the second parak. When you read the Megillah on Purim B'tzibur, then you have to learn from a Sefer, a Megillah says that has the status of a Sefer HaBris. When you read B'Yechidus, when you're not learning B'Tzibur, so there was no Krisis Bris with the Yechidim. So then you can learn from a Megillah says that it doesn't have to have the status of a Sefer HaBris. The Gemara explains, when does it have the status of Kriya Mitoch HaKsav, it's Kisvei HaKodesh, but it's not a Sefer HaBris. So the Gemara explains when you have like that. Yeah, we have it then. The Gemara also learns that some of the laws of Geiris from Megillas Rus, when Rus HaMoavia was walking back to Eretz Yisrael with her mother-in-law Naomi, so the Gemara has a tradition that she was Megayir at that time. This simple reading in the Gemara sounds like when the two sons of Machlon V'Kilion, two sons of Naomi and Elimelech, married the two girls, they weren't Jewish at all. They didn't convert. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. That's problematic. They were anoshim chashuvim. How can it be that they married non-Jewish girls? So that's a big problem. How do you understand pshat? But the Gemara understands the whole conversation between the Omi and Rus on the way back to Eretz Yisrael was that Rus was mekabel ol mitzvah. She says, "Amechami velakayach elokai, asher tel chayelach, asher talini olin, asher tamusi amos, asher makover." So the Gemara says, "Basher tel chayelach." She commits herself not to go chutz l'trum. If you don't walk chutz l'trum, I won't either. Asher talini olin. If you're going to be careful not to violate yichud, I will not sleep in the same room with a man. I won't violate yichud. And then she says, "Amechami velakai chalakoy." I accept the Jewish God of the Jewish people. But Amechami, I accept your Jewish nation. I want to become a member of the Jewish people. So there was an incident many years ago. There was a period of time that Rabbi Gorin was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. I think this is, first he was a chief chaplain in the army, and then they made him the chief rabbi for the Ashkenazim. I'm not sure. I think this was while he was the chief rabbi. So there was a non-Jewish, German wanted to convert to become Jewish, but he wanted to remain, he didn't want to join the Jewish nation. He said he wants to remain a German with the Jewish, with the Mosaic faith, with the religion of the Jewish people, but he doesn't want to become a member of the Jewish nation. So Rabbi Goren said, we can't accept him as a ger. And he's probably right, because the pasuk says, Amechami, the goy has to say he's prepared to join the Jewish people. The Gemara says when a ger comes and he wants to convert, the Shulchan Aruch quotes all of this. So he tried to dissuade him. Why should you try to dissuade him? Because the Gemara says, Koshim ger min Yisrael kisapachas. It's problematic. When you have a ger, you're just looking for trouble. So we try to dissuade him because Koshim ger min Yisrael kisapachas. We're just going to have aggravation for the gerim. And we also, it's not fair to the ger. So we have to tell him that the Jews, in a certain sense, are bigots, and you're going to have difficulty getting a shidduch. No normal Jewish boys are going to want to marry. Let's say the woman is a black woman and she converts. How is she going to get a shidduch? Which nice Jewish boy wants to marry a black girl, even if she converts? Okay, now we have Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Some of the Sephardim are darkish, but to marry a convert, it's going to be, so you tell him that. You're going to, just looking for trouble. What do you need it for? You want to believe in monotheism? Okay, volunteer. Until now, if you want, you can volunteer. But if you'll be Mechal HaShabbos, eat Trefis, you won't be Chai Malkus, you won't be Chai Misa. If you're going to convert, then you're going to be Chai Misa, you're going to be Chai Malkus. So we have to warn the Ger in advance. Le Tovas HaGer, he should realize what he's getting himself into. We have to warn him. There's a lot of anti-Semitism. And if you're going to convert, the anti-Semitism is going to be poured out on you also. You won't be nitzel from it. So we have to tell him the Tovas HaGer and the Tovas Seinu, the Gemara says, because Koshim Ger and Yisrael Kisapachas. So if the Ger insists, so we say, okay, then we have to teach him. And he has to be Mekabel Ol Mitzvahs. Mekabel Ol Mitzvahs is certainly Ma'akev. Some professor published a whole book where he had a chiddush, a thesis, that the whole requirement for Kabbalah and mitzvah was invented in 1850 by the Sholem Eishiv, by one of the Galatiana rabbis. The Pashtus is that's also learned out from Maimon Hasina. But Esau said, Nasam and Ishma, we commit ourselves to observe all the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. So you see, you need not a Kabbalah and mitzvahs. Where did they get this idea? The Mechaber quotes a Loshon HaRambam that the Kabbalah on mitzvahs is not Miyakev. So Rab Chaim Moiser has a tshuva, and Rab Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, and Rab Soloveitchik said it though a poshut. Rab Chaim Moiser quotes a few poskim. They all say the same thing. It means the dramatic form of Kabbalah on mitzvahs, the way we have it, that the ger is in the mikveh up to his neck in water, and we review, do you reject the Trinity? Do you believe in the one invisible God in heaven above? Do you believe in Torah min Hashemayim? Do you believe in Torah Shebaal Peh? Do you commit yourself to observe Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha? So we have a very dramatic Kabbalah on mitzvahs as the ger is in the mikveh up to his neck in water. You can't keep him there for a few hours. He can't go through all the 613 mitzvahs. He'll get pneumonia. He's not undressed standing in the mikveh. So you go mitzvahs, mitzvahs, kalos, and mitzvahs, mitzvahs, chamos. You give him a sampling of some of the more difficult mitzvahs, some of the easier mitzvahs. And then you have the geirus. So you need, so that when the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, the Kabbalah on mitzvah not miyaka means the dramatic Kabbalah on mitzvahs is not miyakev, but we have to, the Besdin has to know that he knows what he's getting himself into, and he committed himself to observe whatever mitzvahs come his way. Tosfos comments on the Gemara has a whole discussion. In the days of the Tanoim, they had a machlekes, what's the status of the kusim? In Tanakh, in Sefer Melachim, the story is told that a whole group of non-Jews from the city of Kusa were relocated to Eretz Yisrael, and they were being attacked by lions. And so they couldn't understand that was abnormal. Lions didn't attack anybody in Eretz Yisrael. Why are lions attacking them? So they figured it must be that the God of the Jewish people is the God over Eretz Yisrael. Every country has a different God who's in charge. And the God of the Jewish people must be in charge in Eretz Yisrael. So they better make this Jewish God happy. So they went through the conversion process, but they says they still continued to worship Avodah Zarah. They were never mekabel anything. They didn't accept anything about Judaism. They just wanted to be members of the Jewish people officially. So the lions were satisfied. The lions stopped attacking them. So the Tosfos says, but the Geirus was meaningless. It absolutely was not chal. There was zero kabbalas on mitzvahs. But then the Tanoim saw in the days of the Tanoim, they're observing a lot of mitzvahs. So they didn't know how to deal with this. How come they're observing some, not observing all? Was it that they just picked up some of the mitzvahs by osmosis? They're living in Eretz Yisrael together with the Jews. So they're imitating the Jews like you have now. A lot of Russians moved to Eretz Yisrael. Many of them are not Jewish, but they eat matzah on Pesach and they take off on Shabbos because everybody takes off on Shabbos. So they keep a little bit mitzvahs, but they never converted. So these Russians will be the first ones to tell you they never converted. They're not Jewish, but they, by osmosis, they picked up some of the mitzvahs that are being observed by all the other people. Tefillin, they don't wear. But some of the other mitzvahs they do. So the Tanoim had a machlekes, what is this all about? How do we understand this phenomenon of the kusim that they observe some mitzvahs and not others? Should we assume they just picked up by osmosis, but they're goyim gemurim? Geiri aroyis, the whole conversion that they had was only that, the initial conversion in the days of Tanakh. And they only converted because of the lions and they never accepted anything. There was zero kabbalas on mitzvahs, so they're goyim gemurim. Or should we assume Shuv Nizgaru Belev Shalom? Maybe there was a second, historically, maybe there was a second conversion at which time they accepted all the mitzvahs of Torah. And then they started to slack off, and they only observed Torah Shebichsav, and they don't observe too much of the Torah Shebal Peh. And that's the explanation for the confusion. Maybe that's the explanation. So the psak was, we assume historically, Shuv Nizgaru Belev Shalom, there was a second conversion. But the first conversion, since it was lacking kabbalas on mitzvahs, was talking not meaningful at all. So that's a double portion. If you have, there was a student in the yeshiva. He came to me maybe nine years ago. I don't know. He was graduating college. He tells me that he was not Jewish and he was in the Israeli army. And then in the Israeli army, there's a program, whoever wants to convert. So he started the program. He started learning about classes, about learning about Judaism. And then he decided it's not for him. So his friend said to him, fool, complete the program and convert. Then you'll decide if you want to be Jewish, you don't want to be Jewish. So he completed the whole program and he converted, but he planned never to keep any of the mitzvahs. His friends told him, don't tell the rabbis that you don't want to be observant. Tell them, don't say anything. Just go through the program. And now you have all your options. You can marry a Jewish girl. You can marry a non-Jewish girl. But he tells me he really had in mind he's not going to keep any mitzvahs at all. So he's asking me, as he's about to graduate college, yeshiva college, this non-Jewish fellow, he wants to know, he wants to get married. If he marries a Jewish girl, he's going to marry open Orthodox. He's not going to marry an Orthodox. He's going to marry an open Orthodox girl. So he wants to know, should he marry an open Orthodox girl or should he marry a non-Jewish girl? I told him, my dear friend, you are not Jewish. You should marry a non-Jewish girl. The whole conversion was a fraud. There was no kabbalas on mitzvahs, nothing to discuss. We assume that the kabbalas on mitzvahs is miyakev. The Gemara also learns out, so that's the Gemara increases, Daf Tesa, but Aleph says, all the dinim are learned out from Maimon HaSinai. You need kabbalas on mitzvahs, that's Nasim and Ishma. You need mila, you need tefillah, and you need korban. Sure. Then the Gemara in Yevamos has Ager Tzarech Shlosha Mishpat Ksivbe. The word Mishpat appears in Chumash in connection with the act of Geirus. So just like a Din Torah needs three Dayanim, so too Ager Shenizgayer has to be Megayer in the presence of a Bezna of three. So this is a problematic. That's not learned out from Maamar HaSina. Maamar HaSina, there was no Bezin. If there would have been, where was the Bezin there? Moshe Rabbeinu was there. So Moshe Rabbeinu has the status, Moshe Rabbeinu, B'mokamayin Alfkoi. Moshe Rabbeinu has his status like a whole Sanhedrin Gedolah. So if you're going to learn out from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was supervising the Geiris at HaSinai, then you should need a Geir, should need a Bezin HaGadol, not a Bezin of Shloisha. So there's a Sefer on Chosh HaMishpot. What's it called? Something Yeshua's. Rabbi Shua LaKutna. He was one of the three rabbis in the late 1800s. There were three Talmid Chacham, three big rabbis in Europe, gave the Het to Mechira, that if you sell the farms in Eretz Yisrael for the Shnas HaShemitah, you sell it to a non-Jew, then you don't have to observe the laws of Shemitah. So Rabbi Shua LaKutna was one of the three rabbis. It was a great gun. So he has a Sefer on Chosh HaMishpat. I forgot what it's called. Yeshua's something. Where he's bothered with these kashas. The one kasha is, if all the dinim of Geras are learned out from Maamar HaSinai, how can you come all along and say that you need a bezin? But in Maamar HaSinai, there wasn't a bezin. And he has another kasha, all the dinim are learned out from Maamar HaSinai. So a Geras is an agreement that's entered into between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Ger. The Ger commits himself to observe all the mitzvahs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu commits himself to give schar v'yoinish. If he observes the mitzvahs, he's going to get schar, and if he violates, he's going to get an oinish. And the two parties to the agreement were present at HaSinai. The Shechina was there, there was Ashras, HaShechina, and the Bnei Yisrael were there. But how do you know the Doris that you have the ability to be Megar Saman if the Shechina is not there? Maybe you should learn out from HaSinai, you need the Shechina. So this Rabbi Shua LaKutna says he thinks that one kasha for emphasis is the other kasha. You learn out from Maamar HaSinai that if you have the Shechina is there and the Ger is there, the two parties are there, then you don't need a Bezin. But if you don't have a Gilui Shechina, then you have to have a Bezdin to represent the Shechina. Lekim Nitza Badas Kel. The Gemara learns that from that pasuk, that whenever there's a Bezdin, there will be a Hashras HaShechina, to help the Bezdin that they shouldn't make a mistake in Psak Halacha. So we require a Bezdin by Geiris, according to Rabbi Shua LaKutna, to represent the Rabbanu Shel Olam. He has a discussion. He quotes in his Sefer on Chosh HaMishpat, he quotes, there is a Machloikes Achreinim. Let's say the Bezdin sits in their office all day long till 5 o'clock. And 5 to 5, nobody is coming, so they put on the hat and the coat and they're ready to leave. And two witnesses come, Adam come, and they say, we want to give Haggadah Seder. The Bezin says, come on, come back tomorrow. It's late. It's ready 5 to 5. We want to go home. We haven't seen our wives the whole day. So the Adam say, no, we're going to give you the testimony. And the three Dayanim say, don't give it. Come back tomorrow. Don't give it now. They say, no, we can't come back tomorrow. And they give the Haggadah Seder. And the Bezin says, we don't want to accept the Haggadah Seder. So can they force the Kabbalah Seders on the Bezin? Bal Korchem Shal HaBezin. So this is because they heard every word that the Adam said, except that they didn't have they had their hats and coats on and they were halfway out of the door. But they heard the whole Haggadah Seder. So that's a Machlokes Achreinim. So the Rabbi Shua LaKutna comes up with a Chiddush based on a Gemara. He proves it from a Gemara. What if the three rabbis are vacationing on the river, where Kinneret, and the swimming suits on the Kinneret, and they're talking and learning, and the Goy had already a bris milah, l'shem geiris, and he wants to be toivel in the Kinneret, l'shem geiris, and he says, I want to be toivel, l'shem geiris. I said, not now, come back tomorrow when we're dressed, we want to wear our hats, I want to have a formality. He says, no, I'm going to jump in now, whether you like it or not. And they say, go jump, we don't care what you're going to do. But they were watching when he was toivel in the mikveh. So he has a Beferish Gemara, he thinks it's Muchach from the Gemara, it's no good. The Ger cannot be Megar Bal Korchem Shel HaBezin. Why not? So he understands that the Bezin is supposed to represent the Shechina. He says, if you have the Shechina, you don't need a Bezin. The only reason why you need a Bezin on the door is because you don't have a Gilu Shechina. And the Bezin is supposed to be Likim Nitz about Das Kel. When you have the Bezin, they represent the Shechina. And the Shechina has to agree, we are accepting you. We are accepting you as a candidate for conversion, and they mekabel the ger. The Beis Halevi has something similar. Beis Halevi HaChumash has something similar, but not identical. He says, like Rabbi Gurin said, when the Ger converts, he has to say, Amech Ami. It's not enough, Elokai Chalokai. He has to join the Jewish nation. So the Beis Din of Shloisha represents the Jewish people. And Maimon HaSinai, there was no need for a Beis Din because the whole Klal Yisrael was there. They were becoming Gerim. The whole Klal Yisrael was there. But now Lidurus, after Maimon HaSinai, also coming to answer the Kasher Rabbi Shul Lekutne. So he says, at Maimon HaSinai, the whole Klal Yisrael was there. But Lidurus, you don't have Klal Yisrael. So you have to have the Beis Din of three to represent Klal Yisrael, to say we are accepting him as a member of Klal Yisrael. So that's a question. Let's say it happened every so often that a ger fools the Beis Din. If the Beis Din would have known the whole background of the case, they would have not accepted this ger. He was a gangster, whatever, and he didn't tell the whole truth. He didn't tell the whole story. So if they would have known the whole background, they would have not accepted him. So is it like, let's say, I serve as an eight kiddushin under the chuppah, and then they fooled me. I didn't realize the whole background. If I would have known the whole background, I would not have attended the wedding, and I would have not have wanted to be the eight kiddushin. But the eight kiddushin doesn't have to agree that it's a good shidduch, even if he thinks that it's awful. The kiddushin is only chal if you have eidus l'kiyum hadover. So maybe over here, it's a Beis Din l'kiyum hadover. That's what some rabbis say. It's a Beis Din l'kiyum hadover. Whether they think it's a smart idea or a stupid idea to have this person convert, they were watching when he converted, so it's good. So both the Beis Halevi and the Rabbi Shaul Lekutin, they think it's no good. The Beis Din has to agree. They have to understand what's going on, and they have to agree either they're representing the Shechina to accept the candidate for conversion, or they're representing Klal Yisrael to accept them a member of Klal Yisrael. We mentioned the Gemara in Psochem says that a Gersh and his Geyer says a Brocha la'achar asiyosim. He can't recite the Brocha oivel asiyosim, akati gaber lochazi. He's not Jewish yet. Before he's toivel in the mikvah, he can't say Hashem kereshon b'mitzvah yisav b'tzivon. But after toivel b'yola, after he comes out of the mikvah, then he's undressed. So he has to cover himself up before he says the Brocha. Okay. Has to figure out how he's going to do that. And then he says the Brocha la'achar asiyosim. Yeah, there is a din in the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Yud Aleph, a famous Gemara. Ger kotem ad bilam oso al das Beis Din. Rashi says on that Gemara, the Gemara says if you have a non-Jewish couple, they have children, and the parents convert, and then they convert the children, so that's for sure you say zochen li'adam shlebifonim, because the normal practice is that young children want to be the same religion with their parents. Older people, not necessarily so. Let's say there's a Goyish family and the parents are in their 50s, 60s and want to convert. And the children in their 20s, 30s, 40s, they don't want to convert. So they're independent. But if they're young children, we assume Nichalei, the Ger Kotan, it's a schus, the children probably would agree it's L'Toivosim, that they should be the same religion as the parents. So Rashi says on that Gemara, what's Ger Kotmat Bilamos Adas Bezen? The mother's bringing him to convert. The father's not around. The mother brings him. If the father and the mother would bring him, then the Gemara says, for sure, it says, Zochen l'adam shlebifonim. But if only the mother brings him, so that's the chiddush in the Gemara. Even that case is also Zochen l'adam shlebifonim. Yeah, that's a question. What if neither the father nor the mother is bringing him to convert? A Jewish couple can't have any children. They want to adopt a non-Jewish baby. So there's a non-Jewish person gave birth to a baby. A single woman or whatever it is, a woman can't take care of her baby, so she gives up the child for adoption. So it's not even not the father, not the mother, the adoptive parents. The Jewish couple wants to convert that child. So that's the question. It doesn't really say in the Gemara that that's acceptable. So Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva that his brother-in-law from South Africa, that he paskens that that's okay. That was the common practice in Europe, in Eretz Yisrael, in America, that if a Jewish couple can't have children, they adopt. There's a partial kema mitzvah, piruvirivya, the full kema mitzvah is you have your own children and you raise them as Jewish. And there's a partial kema mitzvah, konamagadol yosem sech besem alalakasav kili yelodo, means that it's a partial kema mitzvah, the mitzvah of piruvirivya. So that's why you adopt. So we assume that that's also included in ger katan, mat bilam oso adaz bezden, based on zochen liyadam shleibifonim. So Tosis has the famous kasha. Tosfos in Sanhedrin, there's a long, gigantic Tosfos, the first daf in Perek Ben Sura, Umar, I think it's Dafayim Beis on the base. So there's a long Tosfos, and the Tosfos is in other Masechtos as well, in Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph and other places as well. But Metzia, there is a Gemara in Ezeo Neshech, I think it's Daf Ayin Beis Amid Aleph, Ayin Aleph on the base, and then it goes to the top line and Ayin Beis Amid Aleph and Ezeo Neshech, where the Gemara says that the way it's printed in our editions of the Gemara, in the Vilna Shas, so it says, Zechia Zochel Adam Shlai B'fanav is like Shlichas. So since a non-Jew cannot have a shliach function on his behalf, so a non-Jew cannot have a din of zochel adam shlei b'fanav. He can't be zochel something for the non-Jew. Let's say you want to give a matana to the nochri, he's not here, so I'll pick up the matana on behalf of the goy. So the Gemara said there's no shchiyah la'akam because shchiyah works along the lines of shlichus, and just like there's no shlichus la'akam, there's no shchiyah la'akam. So what about zochin, l'katan? A katan can't have a shliach either. And then there is a din of Zochin Lekatan. So that's a machleg satanaim. So it said there are three opinions in the Mishnais, in the end of Bava Basra. So one Tana is of the opinion, there's only Zochin for an adult who's after Bar Mitzvah. But child before Bar Mitzvah, just like there's no Shlichas, there's no Schia either. There's another opinion, just the reverse, that Zochin Adam Shleib Bifonim is only a Takonim Ed Rabbanon. It doesn't work Min HaTorah. And they only instituted the takan of Zochel Adam Shlei B'fanav on behalf of a katan before Bar Mitzvah, because who's going to take care of him? But on behalf of a godly after Bar Mitzvah, let him make the kinyan on his own. You don't have to make any takana. The type is the adults who are after Bar Mitzvah. We don't paskin like that. We paskin like the third shita. There are two tanoim, and there are two versions of what the machlok is. Two tanoim with three opinions, because there are two versions of what the machlok is. So one opinion in the Mishnah, there are three opinions. One opinion, Zochin is only legodl, not lekotten. One opinion, Zochin lekotten, and not legodl, because the whole institution of Zochin Adam Shlei B'fanav was only takana de Rabbanon, and they only made the takana on behalf of Ktanim, on behalf of Gdolim. They don't need any takana, they can make the kinyan themselves. And the Psak Halach, we pass in Zochin, bein lekotten, bein legodl. But there are two girsis in the Gemara there, in Bava Metzia, Ezeo Neshech, Zochin lekotten. Is that min HaTorah, is that min HaRabbanan? So the way it says in our Gemara, Zechiyah lekotten is only min HaRabbanan. So Tosfos says, Zechiyah lekotten is only min HaRabbanan. So the ger kotten min HaTorah, he's a goy, and min HaRabbanan, he's Jewish. That sounds very strange. They're going to take a non-Jew, min HaTorah, he's not Jewish, min HaRabbanan, we're going to declare that he's Jewish. How can it be? So Tosfos gives different answers. It's interesting. Tosfos in Sanhedrin, that long, long Tosfos, and I'm based on the base, I think it is, on the first daf in Perek Ben Sarah Mora. So Tosfos has a very big chiddush there. Tosfos says that there is no din that you need das at all for geiris. There's a din, you can't be megayir a person bal korchai, but there's no din that you need das hager. So if you have an infant and you megayir an infant, It's not midas because the ger cotton, he's a cotton, he doesn't know what's going on. You're converting him, he doesn't understand anything that's happening. But it's also not bal korchai. The Gemara says that based on zochin the adam shlei b'fanav. How can you say you don't need zochin? They says that holds you don't need zochin, but the Gemara says it's based on zochin. They says no. The Gemara was asking in Ksu. The Gemara was asking man lana lehismatzes b'davar hazeh. What do we have to look for trouble? Why are we helping this couple, the Jewish couple who can't have any children? So they want to adopt a non-Jewish child, they want to convert him. So why should we convert the child? True, it's correct, you don't need das to be megayer, as long as it's not bal korchai, but why should we stick our necks out? What do we need the whole trouble for? Mara says, no, but it's l'tayva. It'll turn out l'tayva in the end. So that's why we do it. But how does it work? It doesn't work based on the principles of Zochel Adam Shlei B'fanav. You don't need das for geiris. Just as long as it's not bal korcham, then the geiris is good. And the other teretz that Tosfos gives, that's Rav Soloveitchik explained, the other teretz that Tosfos gave was like this. Sometimes you have zochin, I do a maisa on behalf of someone else. Sometimes I grant das on behalf of someone else. Sometimes you do a maisa with das. Let's say I want to give a matana to someone, but the person is not here. So I give you the matana, I say, you pick it up and be kind of a Pliny. So you're making the kinyan on behalf of Pliny, and you're granting the das. I can't give a matana bal korcha shalodim. He has to agree that he wants the matana. You need the das kaina. So you need das kaina. So if you agree to pick up the matana on behalf of Pliny, so you're acting zochin le'adam shlei b'fanav, granting the das on his behalf, and doing the ma'aseh kinyan on his behalf. Sometimes you have zochen adnus lebefana. You don't need das. All you need is a maisa. Let's say to be meshachar and eved knaini. You can just like you can give a get bal korcha of the isha. You can give a shtashicha to eved knaini bal korcha, and he goes free whether he likes it or not. So if the eved is not here and you want to be meshachar the eved knaini, so I give the shtashicha to someone who's zochen on behalf of the eved. So it's only zochen on the maisa. V'nasam biyada. It says by the get v'nasam biyada. We learn that lola meyisha that the same din applies to a shtashich or eved knaini as applies to a getisha that you need the nisin eliyadai. So when someone is going to be zeicha kabbalas al shtashich on behalf of the eved knaini is only a zochin in the maisa. It's not a zochin in the das. You don't need das or eved like you don't need das or isha by the get. You don't need das or eved to be maskim to the shichur. And then there's a third case where you megayer a baby. You're doing the bris milah on the baby. You toivel the baby in the mikvah. It's not that I'm going to mikvah on behalf of the cotton. I'm being toivel the baby in the mikvah. I'm doing the bris milah on the baby. But the baby doesn't have das. I'm granting das on behalf of the cotton. So whenever you say, zochen li'odem shleib in front of the maisa that I do, I'm taking maisa kinyan on behalf of Pliny. So then you need zchiyah mitam shlichas and zchiyah for a cotton would only work with the rabbanon. But over here, by the ger, we're being mal, we're doing the mila and the tefillah and the gufa shel hakotn. The only thing is the kotn is alav bar das, so we're granting the das on behalf of the kotn. So that's what Tosis suggests. And it's not that the vort is that my granting the das on his behalf is considered as if he had das. No, the din is you don't need das. Whenever it's l'tayvasa, zochan adam shalafanav, you don't need das. Not that I can grant the das on his behalf. If you say you don't need das, then it's not Tzchiyah Mitam Shlichas. If you say, you need the Maisa Kinyan, and my Maisa is considered as if he did it. The name of the Sefer is Yeshua Yisrael. That's right. Rabbi Yeshua Lekutna. The name is Yeshua Yisrael. Achibra Achash Mishpah. It's very good. Yeah, there is a question regarding the bezin that's necessary for Geirus. Let's say it's a woman who's converting, and you have to have a bezin watching when the woman is tovel in the mikveh. So that's a question by the Geir. You need mila, and you need tefillah in the mikveh, and you need kabbalas on mitzvah. So how much of this needs a bezin? So the Shulchan Aruch says, l'chatchila, you should have all three. You should have the mila bifnei bezin, you should have the tefillah l'shem bezin, bifnei bezin, you should have the kabbalas on mitzvah bifnei bezin. What a bit of yeved, you didn't. So one opinion of Tosis says that all you need is the kabbalas on mitzvah bifnei bezin. And then even if the moil does the bris milah, there's nobody watching, just the moil and the goy. And then the goy is tovel in the mikvah on his own. So then the geirus would be valid. How do we paskin? So it's a question how we paskin. It's a question. So we paskin, l'chatchili should have a bezin of three when you do the milah. But if you didn't have a bezin, it would also be good. It would also be good. But the tefillah, that's a sveka dedina. So we would require both the kabbalas on mitzvah should be bifnei bezin, and the tefillah in the mikvah also should be bifnei bezin. The bezin has to consist of three men. You can't have three women, even though there's one opinion in Tosis and Baba Kama, Daf Tezvav and Aleph, as well as in Gittin. So Tosis has two opinions, whether isha k'sheira lodun. Can a woman participate in a bezin? If the woman knows how to learn, she has smicha, can she participate to be a dayan and a din Torah? Yeah, so that's if you have a din Torah with a paskening and din imamunus. What if it's not a din Torah? What if it's a bezin lekiyum hadavar, like by geirus? They're not paskening anything. They're just supervising the geirus. So that's Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. There's a rashash in the beginning of Gittin. He asked Akasha. The Gemara seems to say when the shliach lahilocha says b'fanenechtam, he has to say it in the presence of a bezin of three men. And women can't be mitztarif to the bezin. Why not? But according to one opinion of Tosis, ishik sheva lodun. Rav Soloveitchik said, perhaps it would appear from the Gemara that even if you hold ishik sheva lodun, that's only in a din Torah where they, if they know how to learn, then they can give their opinion and they can pasken. But if it's a bezin l'kiyum hadavar, like by geiris or like by kabbalas edus, the shliach l'halacha says in the presence of a bezin. So bezin l'kiyum hadavar, that you can't have women. So even if a woman is converting, you have to have a bezin of three men. So what do you mean? The bezin has to watch the way the woman is undressed. She's tovel in the mikveh. So there are different practices over the years. So there used to be a dayan grosnas in London. He was a Yekeb, but he learned in Radin, and then he learned Baruch Ber, and he wrote the modern style Chubis based on the Yeshivish Torah, based on Gemaras and Poskim, and the Yeshivish style of analyzing things. He quotes Rav Velvela Soloveitchik in his Chubis. He quotes Rav Baruch Ber in his Chubis. Quotes very nice Chubis. So Dan Grossness wrote a whole Chuba about this, and he documents it. He quotes from Sorm that the word Tzaddik went throughout all the generations. Who, when a woman would be converting, the bezem would be in the Beis Medrash. They wouldn't go to the mikveh at all. The mikveh was on the other side of the street. They would rely on the mikveh lady. Another rabbanim would insist, no, the bezem has to be there. The woman is wearing a bathrobe. She's covered up. The mikveh lady checks to make sure that she has no chatzitzas. Okay. But the bezem should be there when she, they should see that this is the woman. And then she dips into the water with a bathrobe. The bathrobe is loose, so there are no chatzitzas. And then we see the woman is under the water. So we walk out of the room, even if it's a man who's teufel, we walk out of the room right away because he's going to come up. He's going to be all undressed. So we don't have to see him. So the question was, when you say that the geirus has to be done under the supervision of the bezin, they have to see, they have to be in the room to see the geir being teufel in the mikveh, or is it good enough if they're officially supervising? So Dayan Grosnas points out that there's a machlokes, a rishonim in the beginning of Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza. The Gemara learns out from a pasuk there that the Yavama, when she does the Chalitza, you do Chalitza HaSandal, she takes off the shoe from the right foot, and then she has to recite the psukim back and forth, and she does Rikika. So the Rikika says, V'yarka b'fanav le'enei haskenim. She has to spit not at the Yavam, she spits on the floor in front of the Yavam. The Eni has Kenim. This Kenim have to be able to see. So if the Bezdin is blind, so they can't see, so it's no good. So the Rishonim have a machlekes there. What does it mean if they're blind? Blind on one eye is no good, or blind on both eyes? So according to one opinion in Rishonim, blind is only possible for Chalitza, blind on both eyes. How could there be a Havamina that is good? What do you need a Pasig Le'ene? If the blind of both eyes, how can they serve as members of the Bezin? But they don't see what's happening. The answer is no, but they're supervising it. They're there and they're telling them step by step. So it's done under their auspices. So some Rishonim hold that's good enough. For Bezin Lekim Adava, they don't have to see. Only by Rikik it says Le'ene Askenim. So therefore, blind on both eyes is no good. And the other Rishonim say, no, blind on both eyes, so they can't serve as member of the Bezin Sadova Pashit. They don't see what's happening. It must be the Eini Askeini means they're only blind on one eye. And nonetheless, the Pasuk says that it's no good. You have to have the Eini Askeini, you have to be able to see with both eyes. So he pointed out that this seems to be a Machlekes HaRishonim. Whenever you have a Bezin supervising Chalitza, like a Bezin supervising Geirus, supervising means that they see with their own eyes, or they're supervising, it's under their auspices. So that's Shaila, whether that was a big machlokes throughout the generation, different rabbanim were mekel on that. And mekel, they insisted that the bezin should not be at all near the mikveh, they shouldn't be watching the woman. So he sent his tshuva to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Moshe didn't know his name, so Rav Moshe has a mistake in his tshuva. He thought his name was Grosnam. His name is Grosnas. So he wrote a tshuva to Dain Grosna, labeled Grosnas. And he says he agrees with what he wrote, that it's a machlekes harishonim and it's a sveka dedina. And he says, more correct is that the rabbanim should be present in the room and they should see the woman being teufel. And if a woman was megayer and the bezin was outside, more correct is they should repeat the tefillah in the mikveh to make sure that she is really Jewish. Yeah, what's the din? We discussed a little bit this year. What's the din? Ger bizman hazeh is unable to bring karbonis. So the Gemara says, but it says, you can accept the ger in any generation. Yeah. That's the question today. If a ger needs a bezin of three, and usually you need smuchim to function in the bezin, so Tesis raises that question. How can you have any geris bizman hazeh? Nobody has any real bona fide smicha. All the smicha that we have is all imitation smicha. So that's a big question. So Tosis in Yavamis answers that we say shlichusayu. We say shlichusayu, even though today we don't have smicha, we can act as if we're shluchim de kamoi. In the days of the Gemara said shlichusayu, the chach me bovel, were acting as shlichusai shluchim of the chachmei Eretz Yisrael who had smicha. Today, even in Eretz Yisrael, nobody has any smicha. So we say the rabbanim all over the world are shlichusai de kamoi, were shluchim of the people who had smicha who died 1,500 years ago. The smicha disappeared 1,500 years ago. So the Rashba takes issue with the Tosfos says shlichusai was only a din mid the rabbanim. It's based on hefka bezna hefka that bezna has the ability to Paskan adintar in Hoidos Vahal voice, even though they don't have smicha. How can Shlichasai make a ger minator? Shlichasai is only with the Rabbanan. That's the first Nesibis in Choshe Mishpat, Siman Aleph, Sikot and Aleph. The Nesibis, the Shulchan Aruch says it's a mitzvah in the community to have Hamodas Dayanim. Shurf to Beshot Titan Lacha Bechol Sharecha. The community has a, the Tzibur has an obligation to establish Batidinim all over the world. So are you in fulfillment of this mitzvah, Bizman Azem, in Atara? Based on Shlichusai, or is it only Midirabbanim? He quotes it's a machlekes, Taisus and the Rashbo, whether Shlichusai works Minatar Midirabbanim. So Taisus' opinion is that Shlichusai works Minatar. The Rashbo is bothered with that. He said, no, Shlichusai is only Midirabbanim and based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. Hefke Bezna Hefke only works in Didi Mominus. So how can you say the Bezna Shlichusai by Geirus? So the Rashba has the Chiddush that Geirus doesn't need a Bezna of Shloshes Smucha Minatar. You never needed smuchim. You need smuchim, smiche is only needed to issue a psak. If you have to have a psak, if a person doesn't have smiche and he gives a psak, that's not called a hayroa. That's called like a maramakam. He's telling you what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. He's telling you what it says in the Gemara. It only has a chalashem hayroa if he's a somach. But by Geiris, they're not paskening anything. The din is that it's just a bezin lekim ador. So the Rashba said there's no need for smuchim in Torah. And the Rambam also sounds like that. Rav Elbala Soloveitchik has an essay on the Rambam. Rav Soloveitchik said the same with a lot of rayas that the Rambam's opinion seems to be that smicha is not a din in bezin, it's a din in psak. That only one who has smicha, his psak is called the hayro. But whatever it is, when Mekabel Gerim is man, is that according to Tosfos is based on Shlichusai, and according to the Rashba and the Rambam, it seems that you never really needed smuchim. Even 2,000 years ago, they never really needed smuchim. So we have that pasuk that even though Bizman Azad the Gerim can't bring any karbonis, but still even though you can't do the carbon, it's not miyakev at all. So the shaila was, what about if you have a man wants to convert and it's a sakonis nefashis medically that he should have a bris milah? He has either a heart condition, and if you're going to do a surgery, he may die, or he has let's say hemophilia, he may bleed to death. So there was a chassidish rebbe who wrote a sefer b'nei yisoschar. He wrote a sefer on Taryag Mitzvahs that's called Derech Pikudecha. Mishnah Berurah quotes it in one place in the Bir Aloche. So in a sefer Derech Pikudecha, under the mitzvah of Milah, he speaks a little bit about Milah's Hager also. The mitzvah of Milah is Milah on a Jewish baby. That's a mitzvah. And he talks a little bit about Milah's Hager. So that's one question. The din is you're not supposed to perform a bris milah on a Jewish baby before the eighth day. What if you're adopting a non-Jewish baby? Can you perform, and you're doing milah l'shem geris, not l'shem mitzvahs milah? Is it okay to do the bris milah before the eighth day? The Pashta says that it is good. Pashta says that's the difference between yilid bais and miknas kesef. A miknas kesef means I'm buying a baby who was born as a nochri, and the parents are selling the baby, and I'm going to be mal a baby l'shem ebik nani. So miknas kesef is nima le'echot. He can be malim the same day he was born. I bought him from the parents. I bought him from the hospital, and I can be malim l'shem geiris the first day. But then in rishonim and achronim, it's not so poshut. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva about it, and there's a maharsho in the last daf in Perek Rav Lezer de Mila. And then in this sefer, the Derech Pikudecha, and the mitzvah mila, he's assuming that you have to wait till the eighth day. I remember I was once at a family bris with Rabbi Gifter, Zechan Larocha. So I was telling him over. He thought I'm making up stories. How can it be that such an opinion? So I showed him the Rishonim quote, the Rabbi Natam. He thought it can't be. It's impossible. Tosfos refers to, there's a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, refers to this, Rabbi Natam, who says he can't be Megayer Agoy before the eighth day, because he can't do the Bris Milah before the eighth day. So this is, says the Rabbi Natam said, a comment that's not worthy of being quoted over here. But if you look in the Ozaruah, he tells what the Rabbi Natam said and that the Balei Taisim were not happy with it. Rabbi Gifter couldn't believe that there was such an opinion in the Rishonim. Anyway, so we usually wait till the eighth day, okay. But then the Derech Pikudecha has a suffix. What if it's an adult, a ger, and we know a man, and we know that he has a heart condition, we know that he has hemophilia, so it's a sakonis nefashis to be malhim. So he assumes a double pashut that he can't become a ger unless he goes through with the mila. He just has a suffix. Is he permitted to be meisa nefesh for Yiddishkeit? Is he permitted to put himself into a suffix sakonis because he wants to become Jewish? Usually a Jew or a non-Jew, not allowed to commit suicide. So what do you mean he wants to convert? He's going to convert. He needs a bris milo. He's going to put his life in sakon. He's not allowed to. Achaz dimcha l'nashe seich medrash. So the dech pikudecho is achsidish rebbe, the b'nei yisoscha. So he says, maybe the guy is permitted, if he wants to volunteer to put his life in sakon. So he has a suffix about that. The Sri Deyesh has a tshuva where he writes over an incident. I don't know if it's printed anywhere else. I saw it in the Sri Deyesh. Rabbi Chaim Oizer used to be the head of the Vad HaYeshivas in Poland. So tens of thousands of dollars, maybe millions of dollars, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars went through his hands from America and from Europe all over to support all the yeshivas in Poland, Chassidish yeshivas and the Litvish yeshivas and so on. And he gave each yeshiva according to how many students they had, according to how much money they needed. So he used to go around to ask Balabatim to support this institution, the organization of Vad HaYeshivas. So he once went to a factory that was owned by a Jewish person, a wealthy man, and he gave him a significant donation. And then the owner of the factory was a ger. So he wanted to show with great pride, he shows Rabbi Chaim Oizer, here's my ksav ger is hanging on the wall. Like some people have the ksuba hanging on the wall. So he had his ksav geris. His ksav geris was signed by Rabitzel Aponavezher. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik felt he was the biggest Balmechadish of the generation, but he is halach lemaisa. Sometimes his chidushim were not so oizgehalten. So this non-Jewish owner of the factory had some kind of medical condition because of which it was a suffix sakana for him to undergo bris milo. So he wrote the whole shtikal Torah in the Ksav Geiris that he was megayer him without him having a bris milo. It was just megayer him with tvida alone. Just like the Gemara says that if he can't bring the karbonis b'zmanazeh, it's not miakev, because we live in a generation where it's impossible. But the Gemara says even b'zman amigdash, the karbonis are not miakev in the Geiris. It's only miakev that he can't eat karbonis. But he's a 99% Jewish, even without the karbonis. It's only din mechusik kippurim. He can't eat karbonis. So he thought, and some agreed with the Rabitzel. I think the Rabbi Pesach Frank also has a situation. There's a minority opinion like that. So there were those who felt, like Rabitzel, that you can be megayer such a person with tefillah in the mikvah alone. So Chaim Oizer read the whole shtikal Torah, and he told the person, we thank you very much for your significant donation. We want you to know that you're not Jewish, that the geris was not valid, and we do not accept the opinion of Rabitzel Panadezha. It was a big Baal Mechadish, but it's a little too much. Yeah. That's a question. When a ger converts, when he's an adult, so then Tovol V'Ola, if he comes out of the mikveh, then he says the bracha shekereshanim in sosav itzivano ala tefila. What if it's a ger kot matbila moso adaz bezin? So the kotn is an infant, so he doesn't say any bracha. Does the bezin say the bracha? And if they do they say the bracha over lasiyasam or lachar asiyasam? So the Sri Deyesh raises this question. He says he's not so sure that you say a bracha at all. Maybe the bracha ala tefila is only recited when the ger himself is an adult. And he says, but the ger kotn is an infant. So maybe Bezdin is out of the picture. Maybe Bezdin should not say any bracha at all. So he's not sure what the din is. The Derech Pikudecho raises the same question. And he thinks that the Bezdin should not say a bracha for a different reason, not like the Sri Deish said. He says the din is Higdili Yicholim Limcha, since the Ger Kotam Adbilim Asad Das Bezdin is based on the principle of Zachon Liodam Shalai Befonov. And the Gemara says, whenever, let's say, I want to give a matana to Pliny. Pliny is not here, so I give you the matana. You pick it up on behalf of Pliny. So when Pliny finds out about it, if his instinctive reaction is, he says he doesn't want to be indebted to Schechter, no thank you, he doesn't want to be kind of the gift, give it back to Schechter, he doesn't want it. So then the Gemara says in Chulin, the end of the second paragraph, Gemara says, whenever you did an act based on Zoch and Adam Shlebefon, when the person finds out about it, and he's Meiche, he doesn't want it, that it undoes the whole Zoch. So the Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Yirav, the same by Gerkot Matbin L'mosal Daz Bezna, we converted the infant when he didn't know at all what's going on. He was mamish an infant, he didn't understand anything. But then the Gemara says, Igdilu, when he comes soon before his age, when he comes by mitzvah, if he says, yeah, you have to let him know that he was converted, and you have to tell him he has the option of turning down the taiva. We did a favor on his behalf, we will megayer him. So if he doesn't want to be Jewish, we have to tell him. So that's what the Derech Pikadecha, the Bnei Yisoschar writes, that since Higdili Yichalem Limchais, so then we really shouldn't say a bracha, because it's a Safik brachas. It may turn out that he's going to be Moicha, and he'll undo the whole Geiris. So that's money, but the Dinim have that practice. When you Megayer a Ger Katan, so you don't say a bracha at all. We had one case. There was a Gersh and his Geyer. And then we watched him when he went into the mikveh. We said, good. And we said, we're going out of the room. So he came out. So then we're waiting in the waiting room. So then we hear that he took a shower afterwards because he was tovel in the mikveh. So he was afraid maybe the water was dirty. So he took a shower afterwards. So by women who go to the mikveh, so there's a Ramon in the end of Siman Reish Aleph in Yeridea, based on the Orzarua quotes from the Bali Ateiswiz, based on a Rashi on the first Perek and Shabbos, there's a din mid Rabbanan. After a person is tovel in the mikveh, he shouldn't take a shower right away. That may undo mid Rabbanan. The Natar does not wait to undo tefillah in the mikveh. Mid Rabbanan, there's a chumrah that it's oike lemafreya, the tefillah in the mikveh. So by married women, we're machma like that. That they shouldn't, Rav Moshe writes in his Sefer, the married women who go to the mikveh, let's say on Wednesday night, should not take a shower till Harav Shemesh after. In other words, till Harav Shemesh on Thursday night. Because they went to mikveh Wednesday night is Thursday. So you have to have Harav Shemesh after. But if they'll take a shower before Harav Shemesh, we're choshish for that. Taisu's opinion, the Balei Taisu followed that Rashi in the first parak of Masechah Shabbos, that it undoes the tefillah lemafreya. Is it such a chum? So it was lach hamaisa already. It didn't occur to us to tell him that he shouldn't take a shower. But it's an interesting shayla. Should we tell the Gerim that they shouldn't take a shower until after Harav Shemesh? It's an interesting question. The son of the Sochet Shaveh Rebbe wrote Svarim on Chumash. What's it called? Shmuel. Forgot. Chassidus. Chassidus is far much
more.
Shemishmo, right. So he every so often he quotes from his father. Usually he quotes Chassidus or Kabbalah. Here he quotes a halacha from his father that when a ger is tovel in the mikveh and then he becomes Jewish, the question is, does he have to be tovel his pots and pans and his forks and knives? Because whenever you buy clay seuda from a non-Jew, so there's a mitzvah tefillas kemseh. He didn't buy. He was originally the non-Jew, and he converted. So he has pots and pans, forks and knives. He's been practicing kashrus for the longest time. And he bought new pots and pans, forks and knives. And he's careful. He knows that he's careful. So the question is, but they used to belong to a non-Jew himself. And now they belong to a Jew himself. That's not like the story with Midian, that they took it from someone else. So that's a question. Do you need tefillah in the mikveh? So it's usually assumed that you do. So the Shem Shmuel quotes, his father says, no, when the ger was tovel in the mikveh, so the tefillah is oila for him and for all of his kelim, all of his pots and pans. So Dayan Grosnos has another tshuva about gerus, and he says, this is wild. He doesn't know what to do with this, but he said, maybe out of respect for the Avnei Nezer, maybe when we will require of the ger, it should be tovel iskeh, maybe he shouldn't say a bracha. Maybe he shouldn't say a bracha. Because he has this chiddush that there's no need to say brachas. There is a din that a non-Jew is not permitted to observe Shabbos. So what do you do when you have a non-Jew who wants to convert? So you always encourage him to practice Shabbos, like Ivanka Trump, before she converted. So her father used to call her on the phone 20 times a day. He has his obsessions. And so she told him the first Shabbos, she's not going to talk on the phone this Shabbos. He called 20 times on the phone. And after Shabbos, he said, how come you didn't answer the phone? So she said, I told you, Dad, that from now on, I'm going to be Jewish. So she was practicing observing Shabbos, and she didn't talk on the phone. So the question is, but does a din, a goy is not allowed to observe Shabbos? No, chish Shabbos. It's chai misa v'day shamayim. So that's a big question. Nochrish Shabbos, let's say the Jewish people didn't complete the Geris Tel Maimon Hasina, but they observed Shabbos in Mora. The month didn't come down on Shabbos, and they observed Shabbos. Shabbos was given before. So it was in between the Milah and the Tefillah. And the women also observed Shabbos. They didn't do any Milah, but they were Mekabel Ol Mitzvahs. They were in the middle of the process of Geris. The men already had the Milah Mitzrayim, and the women had the Kabbalah Ol Mitzvahs. But they didn't have the Tefillah, the Gemar HaGeris was later, and they did observe Shabbos. And maybe any Ger in the middle of the Geris process is permitted to observe Shabbos. That's a question. So that was a Maisa Shahoya. There was a course of Lebra. I think it was in the late 1800s, if I'm not mistaken. There was a non-Jew who had undergone Mila, and he was waiting months and months. He was waiting a long time till he's going to go to the mikveh. So in Yerushalayim, so Rabbi Shmuel Salant was in Europe at that time, raising money for the yeshiv, for the Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael. And he had his assistant rabbi, Rabbi Asher Lemel, was the name of the assistant rabbi. So the ger came to shul to mincha on Shabbos afternoon, and he davened. So the rabbi asked him, will you mechallel Shabbos today yet? So he says, no. So he said, you're not allowed to observe Shabbos. You have to do some melachim. Well, what should he do? They say, quickly, Shabbos is almost over. Quickly, take a piece of paper and write your name. Be Mechal Shabbos by Duke Siva. So he listened to the rabbis. And then it was a big machlekes whether that was right or wrong. Maybe since he already did the Mila, the Shem Geris, he didn't have the Tefillah yet. So just like Bnei Yisrael, in between Mila b'Mitzrayim and the Maimon HaSina, they observed Shabbos. So maybe this guy is also permitted to observe Shabbos. So there are quite a few tshuvas. So remember many years ago when they first started the Lakewood Kollel in Chicago, that was a long time ago. So one of my neighbors from across the street is one of the heads of that kollel, maybe 40 years ago. So they published a collection of all of the tshuvas on this topic and a soft cover booklet, quite a few tshuvas. It was an interesting machlekes. Okay. There's a lot more on Geiris, but we covered a lot. Everyone should be healthy. Tomorrow morning, believe me, I'll give a share if anyone is interested on Parsha. Sunday morning, I'm not sure yet what time I'll be able to give. I'm not sure if I'll be able to give the share. I have a relative who wants me to be the son that got her baby's bris. I think they're naming the baby after my father.